What's going on, everybody? This is Ben from Retro Ben Gaming. With all the craziness happening in the world today, I decided to add a little positivity to it with this podcast. This podcast is going to focus on all things video games, whether it's discussing them, playing them, or just getting them on the cheap. Now, whether you're a PC player or a console player, I believe we all have something to add to this conversation. So I hope you enjoy the podcast, and as always, keep gaming. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. Been a couple weeks, but end of the year, things gotten hectic, good hectic. Kids are getting crazy out of school, looking forward to Christmas. Had some time to kill, so I decided I'd do probably my last podcast of the year. Hopefully next year, not hopefully, but next year I'm going to do more, bigger and better ones, dive into different subjects, mix it up a bit, have some fun. But for the last one of the year, we are going to talk about The Legend of Zelda, the original Nintendo video game that started the Zelda craze. So hope you guys enjoy this game. Hope you had a chance to play it as a kid. If not, you're going to play it as an adult, hopefully. But either way, enjoy. The Legend of Zelda, originally released in Japan as the Hyrule Fantasy, Zelda New Densetsu, is a 1986 action-adventure video game developed and published by Nintendo and designed by Shigeru Miyamoto and Takahashi Tezuka. Set in the fantasy land of Hyrule, the plot centers around an elf-like boy named Link, who aims to collect the 8 fragments of the Triforce of Wisdom in order to rescue Princess Zelda from the antagonist Ganon. That's right, Princess Zelda. The main character is Link. During the course of the game, the players control Link from a top-down perspective and navigate throughout the outworld and dungeons, collecting weapons, defeating enemies, and uncovering secrets along the way. The first game of the Zelda series, it was originally released in Japan as a launch game for the Family Computer Disk System peripheral in 1986. More than a year later, North America and Europe received releases of the Nintendo Entertainment System in a cartridge format, being the first home console game to include an internal battery for saving data. This version was released in Japan in 1994 under the title The Hyrule Fantasy Zelda No Densetsu 1. The game was ported to the GameCube and Game Boy Advance and is available via the Virtual Console on the Wii, Nintendo 3DS, and the Wii U. It was also one of the 30 games included in the NES Classic Edition system and is available on the Nintendo Switch through the NES Switch Online services. The Legend of Zelda was a critical and commercial success for Nintendo. The game sold over 6.5 million copies, launched a major franchise, and was regularly featured in lists of the greatest video games of all time. A sequel, Zelda 2: The Adventure of Link, was first released in Japan for the Famicom Disk System less than a year after its predecessor, and numerous additional successors and spin-offs have been released in the decades since its debut. The Legend of Zelda incorporates elements of adventure, action, and role-playing genres. The player controls Link from a flip-screen overhead perspective as he travels the overworld, a large outdoor map with various elements. While the player begins the game armed with only a small shield, a tantalizing cave immediately beckons them within, where a sword is entrusted to Link by an old man for use as his primary weapon with the auspicious first message, "It's dangerous to go alone. Take this." Throughout the adventure, Link will find or acquire various items that increase his abilities further. From heart containers that increase his life meter to magic rings that decrease the amount of damage Link takes from enemy attacks to stronger swords that let Link do more damage to enemies. These items are mainly found in caves scattered throughout the land. Some are easily accessible, while others are hidden beneath obstacles such as rocks, trees, and waterfalls. Deadly creatures roaming about everywhere drop rupees, the game's currency, when defeated, and rupees can also be found in hidden treasure chests all over the game world. Rupees are used to buy equipment from shops such as bombs and arrows. Hidden in the overworld are entrances to the large underworld dungeons housing the pieces of the Triforce of Wisdom. Each a unique, maze-like layout of rooms connected by doors and secret passages, often barred by monsters which must be defeated or blocks moved to gain entrance. Dungeons also contain useful items which Link can add to his inventory, such as a boomerang for stunning enemies and retrieving distant items, and a magical recorder that lets Link teleport to the entrance of any dungeon he has previously cleared. By successfully completing each dungeon to obtain all 8 pieces of the Triforce of Wisdom, the artifact allows entrance to the final dungeon to defeat Ganon and rescue Zelda. Apart from this exception, the order in which the game may be completed by traversing any given dungeon on the overworld is largely flexible to players, although they do steadily increase in difficulty by number, and some rooms can only be passed by using items gained in previous locations. There are even dungeons and secret entrances which must be uncovered while freely wandering the overworld after acquiring useful items. This great freedom of where to go and what to do at any point allows for many ways of progressing through the game. It is even possible to reach the final boss without receiving the normal Vital Sword at its outset. The game world contains 600 separate scenes, and the overworld consists of 97 screens, and the underworld consisting of 9 multi-screen labyrinths. After initially completing the game, one can begin its more difficult version referred to as the Second Quest, which alters many locations, secrets, and includes entirely distinct dungeons with stronger enemies as well. Although more difficult replays were not unique to Zelda, few games offered completely different levels upon the second playthrough. By starting a new file with the name entered as Zelda, this mode can instead be accessed without needing to beat the game first. Within the official Zelda chronology, The Legend of Zelda takes place in an era called the Era of Decline, which exists within an alternate reality. In this era, Hyrule has been reduced to a small kingdom where the residents now live in caves, setting the background for The Legend of Zelda. The story of The Legend of Zelda is described in the instruction booklet and during the short prologue, which plays after the title screen. A small kingdom in the land of Hyrule is engulfed by chaos when an army led by Ganon, the Prince of Darkness, invaded and stole the Triforce of Power, one part of a magical artifact which alone bestows great strength. In an attempt to prevent him from acquiring the Triforce of Wisdom, Princess Zelda splits it into 8 fragments and hides them in secret underground dungeons. Before eventually being kidnapped by Ganon, she commands her nursemaid, Impa, to find someone courageous enough to save the kingdom. While wandering the land, the old woman is surrounded by Ganon's henchmen, when a young boy named Link appears and rescues her. Upon hearing Impa's plea, he resolves to save Zelda and sets out to reassemble the scattered fragments of the Triforce of Wisdom, with which Ganon can then be defeated. During the tale, Link locates and braves the 8 underworld labyrinths, and beyond their defeated guardian monsters, retrieves each fragment. With the completed Triforce of Wisdom, he is able to infiltrate Ganon's hideout in Death Mountain, confronting the Prince of Darkness and destroying him with the Silver Arrow. Obtaining the Triforce of Power from Ganon's ashes, Link returns it and the restored Triforce of Wisdom to the rescued Princess Zelda, and peace returns to Hyrule. The Legend of Zelda was directed and designed by Shigeru Miyamoto and Takahashi Tezuka. Miyamoto produced the game, and Tezuka wrote the story and script. Much of the programming was done by Toshihiko Nakago of Nintendo's partner SRD. Keiji Teru, a screenwriter who worked on anime shows such as Dr. Slump and Dragon Ball, wrote the backstory for the manual, drawing inspiration from conflicts in medieval Europe. Development began in 1984, and the game was originally intended to be a launch game for the Famicom Disk System. The development team worked on The Legend of Zelda and Super Mario Bros. Concurrently, and tried to separate their ideas. Super Mario Bros. Was to be linear, where the action occurred in a straight sequence, whereas The Legend of Zelda would be the opposite. In Mario, Miyamoto downplayed the importance of the high score in favor of simply completing the game. This concept was carried over to The Legend of Zelda. Miyamoto was also in charge of deciding which concepts were Zelda ideas or Mario ideas. Contrasting with Mario, Zelda was made non-linear and forced the players to think about what they should do next. According to Miyamoto, those in Japan were confused and had trouble finding their way through the multi-path dungeons, and in initial game designs, the player would start with the sword already in their inventory. Rather than merely simplifying matters for players, Miyamoto forced the player to listen to the old man who gives the player their sword and encouraged interaction among people to share their ideas with each other to find the various hidden secrets, a new form of gaming communication. Relatedly, this concept turned into the root of another series to be developed many years in the future. Zelda became the inspiration for something very different, Animal Crossing. This was a game based solely on communication. With The Legend of Zelda, Miyamoto wanted to flesh out the idea of a game world even further, giving players a miniature garden that they can put inside their drawer. He drew his inspiration from his experiences as a boy around Kyoto, where he explored nearby fields, woods, and caves, always trying through Zelda games to impart players with some sense of that limitless wonder he felt through unknown exploration. "When I was a kid," he said, "I went hiking and found a lake. It was quite a surprise for me to stumble upon it. When I traveled around the country without a map, trying to find my way, stumbling on amazing things as I went, I realized how it felt to go on an adventure like this." The memory of being lost amid the maze of sliding doors in his family's home in Sonobo was recreated in Zelda's Labyrinth Dungeons. Tezuka wrote the setting to be a fairy tale adventure, taking inspiration from fantasy books such as J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings. The hero, Link, was so named in part to connect players inserted into this world with their interactive role, as something of a blank slate represent and not their individuality or methods. Designed by Miyamoto as a coming-of-age motif to identify with, journeying as an ordinary boy strengthened by trials to triumph over great challenges and rise to meet evil. The name of the titular princess came from Zelda Fitzgerald. Miyamoto explained, "Zelda was the wife of famous novelist F. Scott Fitzgerald. She was a famous and beautiful woman from all accounts, and I liked the sound of her name. So I took the liberty of using it in the very first title." Early Zelda concept involved technological elements, with microchips for the Triforce made of electronic circuits and a time-traveling protagonist. Another factor of the name relating to the idea of a computer hyperlink. While the final game and subsequent games in the series follow a more traditional medieval sword and sorcery setting, later entries have incorporated some technology-based concepts. Koji Kondo comprised the game's 5 music tracks. He had planned to use Maurice Ravel's Bolero as the theme song, but was forced to change it late in the development cycle after learning that the copyright for the orchestral piece had not yet expired. As a result, Kondo wrote a new arrangement of the overworld theme within one day, which has become an iconic motif echoing throughout continued entries in the series. In February 1986, Nintendo released The Legend of Zelda as the launch game for the Family Computer's new disk system peripheral, joined by a re-release of Super Mario Bros. Tennis, baseball, golf, soccer, and Mahjong as part of a system's introduction. It made full use of disk card media's advantages over traditional ROM cartridges. With an increased size of 128 kilobytes, which would be expensive to produce on cartridge format. Due to the still limited amount of disk space, all of the text used in-game was from only a single syllabary known as katakana, which under normal circumstances primarily relates more to foreign words, which supplement those of traditional Japanese origin, as with hiragana and kanji characters. I probably didn't say those right, and I'm sorry. Rather than passwords, rewritable discs saved players' game progress, and the extra sound channel provided by the system was utilized for certain sound effects, most notably Link's sword beam at full health, roars and growls of dungeon bosses, and those of defeated enemies. Sound effects had to be altered for the eventual cartridge release version of Zelda, which used the Famicom's PCM channel. The game also took advantage of that system controller having a built-in microphone, a feature the NES model did not include. It was used to defeat a large-eared, rabbit-like monster, Pol's voice, by blowing or shouting. The U.S. Instructional Manual still hints that this enemy hates loud noise, confusing many into thinking the recorder item could be used to attack. In actuality, has no effect. The cartridge version made use of the memory management controller chip, which could use bank switching to allow for larger games than had previously been possible and could also use battery-powered ROM, letting players save their data for the first time on any cartridge-based medium. When Nintendo published the game in North America, the packaging design featured a small portion of the box cut away to reveal the unique gold-colored cartridge. In 1988, The Legend of Zelda sold 2 million copies. Nintendo of America sought to keep its strong base of fans. Anyone who purchased a game and sent in a warranty card became a member of the Fun Club, whose members got a 4, 8, and eventually 32-page newsletter. 700 copies of the first issue were sent out free of charge, but the number grew as the data banks of names got larger. From the success of magazines in Japan, Nintendo knew the Game Tips was a valued asset. Players enjoyed the bi-monthly newsletter, crossword puzzles, and jokes, but game secrets were most valued. The Fun Club drew kids in by offering tips for the more complicated games, especially Zelda, with its hidden rooms, secret keys, and passageways. The mailing list grew. By early 1988, there were over 1 million Fun Club members, which led then Nintendo of America president Minoru Arakawa to start the Nintendo Power magazine. Since Nintendo did not have many products, it only made a few commercials a year, meaning the quality had to be phenomenal. The budget for a single commercial could reach $5 million, easily 4 or 5 times more than most companies spent. One of the first commercials made under Bill White, the director of advertising and public relations, was the market introduction for The Legend of Zelda, which received a great deal of attention in an ad industry. In it, a wiry-haired, nerdy guy, John Cassier, walks through the dark making goofy noises, yelling out the names of some enemies from the game and screaming for Zelda. The Legend of Zelda received highly positive reviews from critics and was a bestseller for Nintendo. Upon release in Japan, it sold 1 million copies on its first day of release and sold a total of 1.69 million for the Famicom Disk System in Japan. In North America, the game was highly anticipated and topped the video game charts upon release. It became the first NES game to sell over 1 million cartridges in the United States during 1987, increasing to more than 2 million cartridges sold by 1988. It went on to sell 3 million cartridges in the United States by 1990, and eventually 6.51 million copies worldwide. Critics lauded the graphics, Kondo's score, writing, and gameplay, hailing the latter as groundbreaking. In Japan, Famicom Tsushin, i.e. Famitsu magazine, gave it a full score of 5 out of 5 stars, while the first Famitsu Best Hit Game Awards gave Zelda the award for Best Background Music and listed it as the third best game of the year, just below Dragon Quest and Gradius. Upon release in North America, Computer Entertainer called it an excellent adventure game that exceeded expectations and said it had more to offer than the typical hack-and-slash epics, with monsters to fight, secret doors to discover, and plenty of frustration, rewarded with new treasures, weapons, experience, places, and discoveries. The review also praised the very appealing and beautiful fairy tale quality. The battery backup save feature, the charming graphics, superb original music, excellent animation, and smooth transitions and scrolling between locations. They called it an incredibly rich, deep gaming experience that goes far beyond the typical cartridge game, with appeal to both male and female players of all ages, making it a must-have for every Nintendo owner. Computer Gaming World in 1988 named the game as the best adventure of the year, stating that Zelda had become a sensational success in bringing elements of computer action adventures to consoles. In 1990, the magazine implied that the game was a killer app, causing computer RPG players who had dismissed consoles as mere arcade toys to buy the NES. Upon release in Europe, Tony Takoshi reviewed the game in British magazine Computer and Video Games and called it a massive arcade adventure packed full of dragons, imprisoned princesses, traps, and pitfalls. They said it was an enormous country to examine and dozens of things to collect, along with hidden power-ups and bonuses, while praising the supreme playability and the excellent graphics and sound, but they criticized the hefty price tag of $69, which would be equivalent to $150 today in the United Kingdom. Ace magazine reviewed the game in 1989, calling it a role-playing epic that proves consoles can be just as good at role-playing games as they are for arcade entertainment, while listing it as one of the top 4 best games available for the NES, along with Super Mario Bros., Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, and Super Mario Bros. 2. Zelda was reviewed in 1992 by Total, where it received a 78% rating due to great part to mediocre subscores for music and graphics. A 1993 review of the game was printed in American magazine Dragon 198 by Sandy Peterson in the Eye of the Monitor column, scoring the game 4 out of 5 stars. It was reissued in 1992 as part of Nintendo's Classic series and featured a gray cartridge. The The game placed first on the Players Poll Top 30 in Nintendo Power's first issue and continued to dominate the list into the early 1990s. The Legend of Zelda was also voted by Nintendo Power readers as the best challenge in the Nintendo Power Awards 88. The magazine also listed it as the best Nintendo Entertainment System video game ever created, stating that it was fun despite its age and it showed them new ways to do things in the genre, such as hidden dungeons and its various weapons. Games Radar ranked it as the third best NES game ever made. The staff praised its mix of complexity, open world design, and timeless graphics. The Legend of Zelda received critical acclaim from modern critics and remains well regarded. It is often featured in lists of games considered the greatest or most influential. It placed first in Game Informer's list of the top 100 games of all time and the top 200 games of all time. 13th in Electronic Gaming Monthly's 100 issue listing the 100 best games of all time. 5th in Electronic Game Monthly's 200 issue listing the greatest 200 video games of all time. 7th in Nintendo Power's list of the 200 best Nintendo games ever. 77th in official Nintendo Magazine's 100 greatest Nintendo games of all time. And 80th among IGN readers' top 99 games. That just goes to show how skewed and just out there these video game magazines review. Half of them are, this is the greatest game. The other half is like, oh, it's in the 70 and 80 percentile. So, says a lot about how they think. Zelda was inducted into GameSpy's Hall of Fame in August 2000 and voted by GameSpy's editors as the 10th best game of all time. Editors of the popular Japanese magazine weekly Famitsu voted the game among the best on the Famicom. In 1997, Next Generation listed the North American release of their 5 greatest game packages of all time, citing the die-cut hull, which revealed the gold cartridge, full-color manual, and fold-out map. The Legend of Zelda is considered a spiritual forerunner for the modern action role-playing video game genre, though it is often not considered part of the genre since it lacked key RPG mechanics such as experience points. It had many features in common with RPGs and served as the template for the action role-playing game genre. The game's fantasy setting, musical style, and action-adventure gameplay were adopted by many RPGs. Its commercial success helped lay the groundwork for involved, non-linear games in fantasy settings, such as those found in successful RPGs including Chrysalis, Soul Blaze, Square's second Densetsu series, Alundra, and Brave Fencer Musashi. The popularity of the game also spawned several clones trying to emulate the game. Despite this, Miyamoto did not consider Zelda an RPG, but classified Zelda as a real-time adventure game. He said he was not interested in systems where everything in the game is decided by stats and numbers. But what's important to me is to preserve as much of that live feeling as possible, which he said action games are better suited in conveying to players. The Legend of Zelda spawned a solitary sequel, many prequels and spin-offs, and is one of Nintendo's most popular series. It established important characters and environments in the Zelda universe, including Link, Princess Zelda, Ganon, Impa, and the Triforce as the power that binds Hyrule together. The overworld theme and distinctive Secret Found jingle have appeared in nearly every subsequent Zelda game. The theme has also appeared in various other games featuring references to the Zelda series. The arcade system board, called the Triforce, was developed jointly by Namco, Sega, and Nintendo, with the first games appearing in 2002. The name Triforce is a reference to Nintendo, The Legend of Zelda series of games, and symbolized the three companies' involvement in the project. GameSpot featured The Legend of Zelda as one of the 15 most influential games of all time, for being an early example of open-world, non-linear gameplay, and for its introduction of battery backup saving, laying the foundations for later action-adventure games like Metroid and role-playing video games like Final Fantasy, while influencing the most modern games in general. In 2009, Game Informer called The Legend of Zelda no less than the greatest game of all time on their list of the top 200 games of all time, saying that it was ahead of its time by years, if not decades. In 2011, Nintendo celebrated the game's 25th anniversary in a similar vein to the Super Mario Bros. 25th anniversary celebrated the previous year. This celebration included a free mail-out Club Nintendo offer of the Ocarina of Time soundtrack to owners of the 3DS version of that particular game. The first digital for Nintendo eShop release of Link's Awakening DX, special posters that are mailed out as rewards through Nintendo Club, and a special stage inspired by the original Legend of Zelda in the video game Super Mario 3D Land for the Nintendo 3DS. The Legend of Zelda was first re-released in cartridge format for the Famicom in 1994. The cartridge version slightly modified the title screen of the disc card version of the game, such that it displayed the number 1 at the end of the title. In 2001, the original game was re-released in the GameCube game Animal Crossing. The only way to unlock the game is by using an action replay. An official re-release was included in 2003, The Legend of Zelda Collector's Edition for the GameCube. And the game was again re-released on the Game Boy Advance in 2004, along with its sequel, The Adventure of Link, as part of the Famicom Mini Classic NES series. In 2006, it was released on the Wii's Virtual Console, and a timed demo of the game was released for the 2008 Wii Super Game Smash Bros. Brawl, available in the Vault section. All re-releases of the game are virtually identical to the original, though the GameCube, Game Boy Advance, and Virtual Console versions have been altered slightly to correct several instances of incorrect spelling from the original, most notably in the intro story. A tech demo called Classic Games was shown for the Nintendo 3DS at E3 2010, showcasing more than a dozen classic games using 3D effects, including The Legend of Zelda. It was announced by Reggie, president of Nintendo of America, that the games were slated for release on the 3DS, including The Legend of Zelda, Mega Man 2, and Super Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island, and would possibly make use of some of the 3DS features such as 3D effects, analog control, or camera support. The Legend of Zelda was released to the Nintendo 3DS Virtual Console on September 1st, 2011, as a part of the Nintendo 3DS Ambassador Program, and was later released to the Nintendo 3DS eShop on December 22nd, 2011 in Japan, April 12th, 2012 in Europe, and July 5th, 2012 in North America. The version released to the Japanese 3DS Virtual Console was the cartridge version. The game was released for the Nintendo Switch as part of the Nintendo Switch Online, Nintendo Entertainment System service, on September 18, 2018. A special Living the Life of Luxury edition of the game, which grants players all equipment and extra items at the start of the game, was added to the service on October 10, 2018. There have been a few substantially altered versions of the game that have been released as pseudo-sequels, and Yura or Gaiden versions. As part of a promotional advertisement campaign for their Chiramira noodles, Maijo Food Company released a version of the original The Legend of Zelda in 1986, Zelda no Densetsu Takoi Chiramira. Wow, I apologize. It's the best I could do. It is one of the rarest video games available on the secondhand collector's market, and copies have sold for over $1,000. From August 6, 1995 to September 2, 1995, Nintendo, in collaboration with the St. Giga Satellite Radio Network, began broadcast of a substantially different version of the original The Hyrule Fantasy Legend of Zelda for a Super Famicom peripheral, the Satellite View, a satellite modem add-on. The game, BS Zelda no Densetsu, that's a terrible name, was released for download in 4 episodic weekly installments, which were rebroadcast at least 4 times between the game's 1995 premiere and January 1997. BS Zelda was the first Satellaview game to feature a SoundLink soundtrack, a streaming audio track through which every few minutes players were cautioned to listen carefully as a voice actor narrated, broadcasting live from the St. Giga studio, which gave them plot and gameplay clues. In addition to the SoundLink elements, BS Zelda also featured updated 16-bit graphics, a smaller overworld, and different dungeons. Link was replaced by one of the two Satellaview avatars, a boy wearing a backwards baseball cap or a girl with red hair. Between December 30th, 1995 and January 6, 1996, a second version of the game, BS Zelda no Densetsu Map 2, was broadcast to the Satellaview as the functional equivalent of the original The Legend of Zelda's Second Quest. Map 2 was broadcast only once in March 1996. And there you have it. There is the history of the original Nintendo Entertainment System Legend of Zelda. I have played that game plenty of times through the years. I've never actually beaten Ganon. Usually I get about 4 or 5 dungeons in, and then I kind of stop playing it and forget about it. Still a great game. In fact, I'm probably going to play it over the last couple weeks of December. Maybe between Christmas and New Year's, I'll give it a shot. Everybody, I hope you enjoyed this. I hope you guys have a good rest of the year, and I hope the start of 2022 is productive and meets all your expectations. Either way, take good care of yourselves, take care of those around you, and as always, keep on gaming. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please take a second to subscribe. And if you want to get a hold of me, you can at retrobendgaming@gmail.com. Thanks again, and as always, keep gaming.